Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. If you've been around the church for a little while, you would have heard this verse probably several times. Sometimes people prophesy, pray it over people, but I thought, what a wonderful passage for 2023, Jeremiah 29, verse 11. As Jeremiah wrote this, but on behalf of the Lord, and he says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord." Some versions say, "I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." What a powerful verse. So for 2023, if I was you, I'd probably write this down or take a mental note of it. Jeremiah 29:11. And you need to be really, really certain that God's plans for you this year are for good, and they're not for evil, not for harm. And he purposes to give you a hope and a future. In a world where people are struggling with feelings of hopelessness and feelings of no purpose and depression and discouragement, God says to us this morning, 2023 is a year that he wants to give you hope and a future. Not just for you, but for the successive generations that come from you. For our young people, for our older people here in the house, for everybody in between, God's plan for you is for good. Could you turn to the person next to you and tell them quite assertively and quite kind of like, you know, almost in a pushy way, that God's plan for you is good. Yeah. God's plan for you too is for good. Lovely. Great to see you guys here this morning. Yeah. We could take that tithe thing off Jacob. Yeah, Jake. Yeah. Otherwise, people might think we bang on about money all the time. And it begins, God's plan for you begins with you surrendering your life to Jesus. Yeah, if you want to get on his plan, you got to put your plans on the back burner and surrender your life to him. And so that his plan for your life can begin to unfold. So if you haven't done that, January the 1st, 2023 would be an excellent time to surrender your life to Christ. On a new day, you know, we make New Year's resolutions, eh? And all that kind of stuff. We break them pretty quickly too. And but it would be good to surrender your life to Christ afresh or for the first time today. Why not? I can't think of any good reason why you wouldn't want to do that. Yeah, surrender your life to Christ. You won't regret it. I want to give some background to this verse today, because I think that Jeremiah chapter 29 speaks to us in our situation now as the people of God. Even though it was written or began to be, it was around about 700 BC that this period of time covers, there's a message in it for us today in 2023. So I want to give you a little bit of background, because sometimes people can take just an isolated verse and, you know, make it to suit their situation, where we want to actually get the background and see how it still applies to us. So 700 years before Christ, the nation of Israel, who Jeremiah was primarily speaking to here, they were caught, if you like, in the crossfire between two mighty empires, the Egyptian Empire and the Babylonian Empire. If you think about Israel, it's like a land bridge between African continent and Europe and Asia. It's right in the kind of crosshairs. And these two mighty empires were battling it out, and eventually the Babylonians overcame the Egyptians, and Israel became part of a vassal state of Babylonia. That was the context. And so at different times, Israeli kings would play the Egyptians and the Babylonians off each other, and hoping, you know, to back the winning team, whichever was going to be best for them. So Jeremiah had warned them that this would happen, that their country would be invaded and all this kind of thing. And we don't have time to get into all the different aspects and the different kind of, there were several exiles when they were actually taken out of the land. We don't have time to get right down into it. But you would have heard about Nebuchadnezzar. So Nebuchadnezzar was the emperor of Babylonia. He eventually got tired of the Jewish rebellions and he destroyed the temple, Solomon's temple, destroyed it. And he picked the people up basically from Israel. And I think it's 4 months walk, 4 months march into Babylonia, which is modern day Iraq, if you know a little bit of geography. They didn't jump on a plane, they had to walk there. He exiled them, he took them captive. Now back in the 70s, you older ones will remember the group Boney M. By the rivers of Babylon, where we sat down. Well, that's what that verse in that scripture is based on. They were exiled, they were taken out. And Jeremiah had warned them. He said, this is what's going to happen. He said, if you continue in your evil, and if you continue worshiping idols as they have been doing, this is what's going to happen. Another country is going to come, the Babylonians are going to come, and they're going to do this to you. And they were very cruel, the Babylonians. This is how cruel they were. They got the king, I think his name was Jehoiakim or something like that. They killed all his children and then plucked his eyes out. So that the last thing he saw was his children being slaughtered, then plucked his eyes and took them. Didn't kill him, but you know, deliberately, unusually cruel people. And all the prophets before Jeremiah had tried to warn them, telling them to turn back to God and that kind of thing. There was a little revival with King Josiah. That was sort of one glimmer of light there. But basically the kings had led the people away into idolatry and all kinds of things, and God judged them. Now I wanna make a couple of points here this morning, because sometimes preachers skip out certain aspects of God because it's not very popular. But one aspect of God is that he judges nations. He brings nations into judgment. He punishes nations. When nations turn away from God and start worshiping false idols and reject God and embrace evil ways, he gives nations time to repent, time to turn around, come to our senses. But if they don't, there's a judgment that falls upon them. We all know the Ten Commandments. In Exodus chapter 20 and verse 4 through to verse 6, the Lord says, you shall not make for yourselves a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is on the earth beneath or that is in the water or under the water. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. And we read, so we see in there the principle that if a nation turns away from God and serves other God, the judgment of God will fall on them. Not necessarily them right there and then, but in successive generations, that judgment will come. And we read the three main ways that God would judge nations is by the sword, we would say by war, by famine, we'd probably say by economic collapse and starvation, and by pestilence, plagues, and things like that. Those were the three main ways, if you look into the scripture, about the judgment of God. For example, many would say that the American Civil War was the judgment of God on the nation of America for the slavery. Ones like Charles Finney, when he was preaching revival, he said the slavery, the way they were treating the Africans, was a national sin that they needed to repent of. They did not repent of it, and America had that civil war, brother against brother, American against American. Not many people realize that more soldiers died in the American Civil War than in World War I and in World War II combined. And that double the amount of soldiers died of sickness than of actual kill. You had something like 13 times more chance of surviving in Vietnam than in the American Civil War. We kind of passed through it in our New Zealand history when we studied history at the American Civil War, yeah. But it was terrible. And many commentators say it was the judgment of God on them as a nation for the African slave trade, the way they'd been treating their fellow human beings. So we need to consider, Romans talks about this, both the goodness and the severity of God. If a nation turns away from God and sacrifices its unborn children to the spirit of Moloch through the national sin of state-funded abortion, we need to ask ourselves a question: will God continue to turn a blind eye to that, or will that in fact bring about the judgment of God? You can look into it yourself, but I would tend to think that the judgment of God is being stored up on the Western nations for the slaughter of innocent lives. And so I'm talking about this in the context of the future. We read the initial verse, Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans I have for you, plans for good and not for evil. But we also need to consider the judgment, the aspect of the judgment of God coming on nations. Praise God, the Bible tells us that God's mercy triumphs over judgment. James chapter 2 and verse 13. So we're emphasizing here this morning one aspect of the Lord's character, and that's the aspect of his judgment. Another aspect that we need to consider is his mercy towards his people. In Psalm 103, verses 17 to 18, the psalmist writes, "But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to their children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those who remember his commandments to do them." So what we are doing right now, what you and I are doing right now in terms of our actions, our behavior, our relationship with God, the way we treat one another, all this kind of stuff, has an everlasting effect. I want to encourage you, church. You know, some of the stuff that we deal with is the consequences of what our ancestors may have done generations before. And if we're thinking about New Zealand, you know, we've got colonization, we've got cannibalism, we've got all kinds of things, you know, that both Māori and Pākehā ancestors did that weren't right. We've got generational sin in our families and all that kind of stuff. And that can come down and visit us to the third and fourth generation. But I want to encourage you in this, that God's blessing on the righteousness, on the righteous, is just as, if not more powerful. That we can do stuff now that actually stops that cycle, stops that coming down onto our descendants, and brings about the blessing of God on our life. Give God some praise here this morning. Yeah. We don't have to be stuck in those cycles of abuse and poverty and addictions and trauma and idolatry and sickness. We can, through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, break those things and allow a cycle, if you like, of blessing to come down on the successive generations. One powerful passage of Scripture, Galatians chapter 3, verses 13 to 14, says, "Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus.'" Okay, we don't have all day to get into this here this morning, but just enough to say this, that sometimes in our life we can begin to recognize a repeated pattern in our family line of some negative thing. For example, in my family line, a repeated pattern of firstborn male children dying. Right? That was happening in my family line. Happened to me, happened to my son. And I remember taking my son aside and said, son, this ain't the blessing of God. That's not the blessing of God. You know, people would say beautiful things like, oh, you know, maybe God wanted another little angel and all that. Well, he can get his own flipping angel. You know, he's not, he doesn't have to take my babies, you know. Yeah, and people say things to try and comfort, but the reality is there was a curse operating in their life where, you know, where infants were dying prematurely, stuff like that. So we got before the Lord, we sought the wisdom of the God of the Lord. We saw this passage here that Jesus Christ has become a curse for us, so the blessing of God can come upon the Gentiles. That's me, I'm a Gentile, the blessings of Abraham, and we broke that curse. Now sometimes they're not here this morning, but you'll see all my grandsons running around the place. Praise the Lord. You know? But the enemy had tried to, you know, cut, you know. So but there can be other things in our lives. Alcoholism, cancer, these kind of things, marriage breakups, poverty, mental illnesses, these different things. We won't get deep into it here this morning. But the good news is the power of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ of breaking and healing those traumas so that we can come through into the blessing of God. That's what we want to emphasize this morning. Praise the Lord. So even you can be in a situation as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ where maybe the judgment of God has been poured out upon a nation for past sin, but there you are as a child of Abraham under the blessing of God. You know? Bad stuff going down around you because of this and that, but you're sitting under the blessing and the prosperity of God. We could look, you know, we saw Isaac. Isaac, he planted in the time of a famine and he reaped. He sowed in a famine and he reaped and he was blessed and he was prosperous. All the Philistines, I think it was the Philistines or Egypt, they're looking, hey, how come this guy, where all our crops are dying, but his crops are being blessed, you know? To the blessing of God coming upon them. Praise God. I wanted to just bring out those two aspects of, these people, they were reaping, in a sense, what their ancestors had done, and they were now exiles in Babylon, and they were going to be there for 70 years. But the problem that Jeremiah had to confront was that a false prophet by the name of Hananiah began to prophesy in the temple. This is before Nebuchadnezzar destroyed it completely. He got up on the temple and began to prophesy that they would only be in exile for 2 years and that they're going to come back and they're going to bring all the gold and everything back that the Babylonians had stolen. And this is in front of the Bible. This is in Jeremiah 28. He did this in the temple in front of the priests and all the people. And I can imagine if we were at that service, we probably would have said, amen, Hananiah, preach it. Praise God, 2 years. Yeah, we're going to get all that stuff back. It's all going to. And Jeremiah knew that God had not sent him and that he was making this up. Well, I call it prophelying. Yeah, but he would have been very, very popular. He was the popular prophet and Jeremiah not so popular because Jeremiah was saying, no, you're going to be there 70 years. It's going to be a long time. And we're going to be, and I mean, he was breaking yokes and, you know, doing all kinds of theatrical things, this Hananiah. And Jeremiah, being a true man of God, not afraid of rejection, had to actually prophesy and begin to tell him where it was really at. So that's the background. So we're in Jeremiah chapter 29, we're in verse 4, and Jeremiah wrote them a letter. The ones who've been exiled. And we'll start in verse 4. It says, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all who were carried away captive, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem to Babylon. It wasn't a satanic attack. God had caused it. And look, here we go, verse 5. Build houses. So one guy's saying, you guys are all going to come home in 2 years. And Jeremiah's saying, no, build houses. Dwell in them, plant gardens, and eat their fruit. Take wives and beget sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands, so that they may bear sons and daughters, that you may increase there and not diminished. And seek the peace of the city where I have caused you to be carried away captive. And pray to the Lord of hosts, the Lord God of Israel. Do not let your prophets and your diviners who are in the midst of you and in your midst deceive you, nor listen to your dreams, which you caused to be dreamed. For they prophesy falsely to you in my name. I have not sent them, says the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, after 70 years are completed in Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word towards you and cause you to return to this place. Basically, he was saying, settle down and get established, because you're going to be there for quite a while. In contradiction to what the other prophet was saying. Now, we're living in interesting times right now in 2023. We've got the war in Ukraine going on right now. We've had the COVID pandemic, and people are talking about perhaps another surge coming out of China. And what this has done is these events have caused a lot more interest in discussing things like the return of Christ and end times. In a recent American poll published by CBN, Christian Broadcasting Network, over 40% believe that the Russian invasion of Ukraine is one of the signs that Jesus spoke of in the Bible when he warned them that there would be wars and rumors of wars in the last days before his return. That's 40%. That's quite, almost half. In the same poll, over 40% believed that the COVID-19 is a pandemic. Pandemic is one of the signs that Jesus spoke about in the Bible when he warned there would be severe plagues in the last days before his return. Now, I want to just look into a couple of the proverbs here. I'm sorry, not the proverbs, the parables. Get a kind of like a biblical balance on this. In the parable of the talents, you might know that one. The man that gave you the talents. In Matthew chapter 25 and verse 19, it says, after a long time, please say a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. Key phrase, this is after a long time. In the parable of the wicked vine dressers in Luke chapter 29, a certain man planted a vineyard, leased it to the vine dressers, and went into a far country for a long time. Key phrase, long time. In the parable of the wise and foolish bridesmaids in Matthew 25, verse 5, all the bridegroom says that. It says, but while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. Key word there, delayed. He took his time. Must have stopped at the pub on the way or something, I don't know. But he was delayed, and they slumbered and they slept. So we see two key principles in here when Jesus is using parables to talk about his return. The first one is, be always ready. Don't slumber. Be alert. Be expectant. Be awake, be filled. The second principle is, but think long term. Think long term, not short term. The bridegroom had been delayed. We could be here for a while. So what can we learn from Jeremiah? This passage, particularly in chapter 29. Where he says, build houses and dwell in them, plant gardens and eat their fruit. I believe that one of the things that the Holy Spirit is saying to us as the people of God is, get yourself established. Put your roots down. Now that can be both physically or spiritually. Build your house. We can apply that both physically and spiritually. This is not necessarily a direct word, go out and build a literal house. But we need to build the house of God. That's pretty direct. You know, sometimes people they just want to be a blessing to a local church, which is good. But I like how Pastor Murray challenges the people of God, get involved in building the house, contributing to the welfare of the local house, the local church. But yeah, build your house physically. That could be something that you need to consider this year. have an asset base that you can pass on to the next generation. You know, we're actually becoming, I think, I don't know if it's our generation, but some of the some older people are quite selfish. I read about some of the older people nowadays. What they do is when they retire, or I hope nobody's done this, but they sell their house, and instead of giving the money to the children, they go on an endless cruise around the world on their cruise ship, spending up all the money. They give nothing to the kids. The Bible says a righteous man leaves an inheritance for his children. Yeah, I know some of our kids are wasteful brats, but we've got time to change that perhaps before we... A little testimony, Allison's, one of Allison's aunties was sick and was passing away, and she'd written out her will, and she came to New Zealand and she saw how the kids were living, and she thought, blow that, and she left some of it to Allison instead. Because praise the Lord, so there's a message there for the children. Yeah. Take wives and beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons, and give your daughters to husbands, so that they may bear sons and daughters, that you may increase there and not diminished. I believe the Holy Spirit is saying, think intergenerationally, not just about this generation, but think about the next generation. Invest in the future generations. Raise spiritual sons and daughters. You know, some of our faith communities in Kaikoi, I'll pick the Anglicans. There's basically no Anglicans left in Kaikoi in terms of the Pākehā Anglican Church. The Māori Anglican Church is still a little bit of vibrance, but there's been some churches in Kaikoi where they literally die out through old age, right? No thought about the next generation. No thought about passing their faith on, passing the vision on, no vision. The Holy Spirit, I believe, is challenging us to think intergenerationally. What are we going to leave behind when we pass on? Raise spiritual sons. Raise spiritual daughters. Invest in future generations. And the third thing that Jeremiah writes in the letter is, and seek the peace of the city where I have called you to be carried away captive, and pray to the Lord for it. For in its peace, you will have peace. Another version says, in its prosperity, you will have prosperity. So I want to encourage you, as we head into 2023, pray for Kaikohe. Pray for the nation of New Zealand. As this place prospers, you will prosper. Bless this place. Get involved. Think of ways you can get involved in the community. Participate in the community, not just for the sake of it, but for being a light in the place and passing, you know, passing on the gospel, passing on the principles of the kingdom of God. So we should remain alert. So I'm not saying, oh, don't, you know, we got plenty of time, Jesus is not coming back for ages. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is, let's remain alert. Let's remain on fire for God. Let's be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, remove anything from our life that may grieve him or offend him. Get rid of that stuff in our life. Let him work in our life. Be spiritually awake. Be filled with the Holy Spirit on a regular basis. And I believe that we're living in new times. We're living in times, right now it's a new year. We're living in new times. And these times the church has been raised to a position of unity and maturity. I enjoy listening to Pastor Rewai. He said that at the Baptist church, he says the church is full of people. It's packed in there. There are 12 people there when he first began there. What was it, a year ago now, or a little more than a year? Now their church is, you know, growing. Isn't that great? We rejoice in that God's kingdom is growing, the church is getting stronger, bringing us together in maturity. And the kingdom of God will continue to grow until it fills the whole earth. Last couple of verses in Jeremiah chapter 29, I want to read verses 12 and verse 13. And verse 12 says, then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me, this is verse 13, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Isn't that wonderful? Let me read it again. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Above all else, make it your goal in 2023 to deepen your relationship with God. Yeah. Above all else, anything else that I've said or haven't said today, or anything else that you may be thinking, above all else, above losing weight, above getting fit, above making money, above whatever, make your first goal to deepen your relationship with God. Seek Him with all your heart. Seek Him with all your heart. He has promised in His word to listen to you. His thoughts are towards you. He was thinking about you this morning. He said, I know my thoughts towards you. He got up and John was on his mind. Samuel was on his mind. You know, Derek was on it. Each one of us, we were on his mind. Good thoughts towards us. He's thinking about you right now. You're on his mind. His thoughts for you are peace and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope for 2023, but also way beyond that, into eternity, everlasting to everlasting, into the generations. Father, I want to thank you today, Lord, for your goodness, your mercy. Lord, even we consider the severity of God and the goodness of God here this morning. I thank you, Lord, for each saint in this place here this morning. Lord, I thank you that you are calling them into an exciting year of a deeper relationship, of closer intimacy, stronger prayer life with you. I thank you, Lord, for your plans for each one of us. And I thank you, Lord, that those plans, they intersect and they connect at various places, Lord, and it's been part of your plan for us to be here today, hearing the word of God and being encouraged by you and being instructed by the Spirit of God. And Spirit of God, I pray that you would quicken the words of this message here this morning, and you'd bring them alive in the hearts of the men and women, the brothers and sisters of this congregation. Lord, that your word would go forth from this place and bear fruit. It would accomplish that which it was sent forth to do. Lord, I pray that every single person under the sound of my voice this morning would be encouraged. Their faith would be built up. Lord, that they'd head into this year, Lord, with an expectancy and with a courage and a vision that comes from you, Lord, an optimism that's stronger than just positive thinking, an optimism that's actually born by faith, born by your Spirit. Lord, I thank you for the unfolding of your plans for each one and for this congregation. Praise you, Lord. If you've never surrendered your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, I encourage you to do that today. We're going to pray a corporate prayer of surrender to Christ. And I encourage you to pray it from your heart and allow the Lord to work in your life and set you up for a great year. So let's pray together. Father, I come to you today and I lay down my life in surrender. I give it all over to you. I ask your forgiveness for the sins and mistakes, the bad choices I made in 2022. And I thank you now for your forgiveness and your blood washing all those things away. I receive you now as my Lord and as my Savior. And I set my course for 2023 to to be surrendered to you and under your leadership and direction in your wonderful name, Jesus. Amen. Bless the Lord. I'd like the worship team to come back, please.